Let me say before I begin sermon, next Sunday we're going to have a prayer service, a service focused on prayers for healing and spiritual revival. So I hope that you'll be here, but also think about family, friends, anyone who you know who might be in need of, whether it's physical healing, emotional healing. We're going to spend the whole service praying over issues like that, as well as have an opportunity for people to come forward and be prayed for. So that's next Sunday, and we hope that you'll all be here for that time. But this morning, we're going to conclude our series on overcoming. And today, we're going to talk about overcoming shame. Shame is one of our deepest and most formidable emotions. Shame can control you. It can manipulate you in ways. Shame can paralyze or torment us. A little story from history. As Joseph Stalin was consolidating power in what became the Soviet Union, Soviet Russia, Stalin murdered and imprisoned millions of people. He was a terrible, terrible tyrant. And it was rumored that one of his favorite weapons to use against his enemies was shame. Shame. And there's a story, and it might just be a legend, but at least this morning I'll choose to believe that it was true. But Stalin had a psychologist who worked for him, who taught him how to use shame against his enemies, against those he was trying to do away with in different ways. And so he taught Stalin how to make people confess to crimes that they didn't commit, so that then Stalin would have grounds on which to punish these people. And the technique that this psychologist taught to Stalin was known as the Mongolian peasant principle. And it goes like this. Imagine there's a poor, oppressed man who's brought before a powerful ruler, and the powerful ruler sets before him a large pile of money, and he says, you can have all of this. 1,000,000 rubles will be yours. I only ask that you do one thing for me. And the poor man says, well, what do I have to do? And the ruler says, all you have to do is ring this little bell, and then 1,000,000 rubles will be yours. And the man says, well, what happens when I ring the bell? And the ruler says, well, when you ring the bell, my jailer will kill a Mongolian peasant. And the man says, well, why does he have to die? And the ruler says, no, that's not no concern of yours. All you need to know is you ring the bell, the man dies, and then you get 1,000,000 rubles. And so the poor man decides this is the best thing for his life, and he rings the bell, and he takes the money, and he goes home. But every time he thinks of spending that money, he remembers the Mongolian peasant. And he's plagued by shame for what he's done until his own death. And then his family finds 1,000,000 rubles hidden under his bed. And the psychologist told Stalin, everyone has a Mongolian peasant in their life. Everyone has some great shame, some terrible sin that they carry around with them. And all you have to do is find that dark secret and dangle that peasant before their eyes, and in an attempt to atone for their great sins, they will confess to anything you want them to confess to. Shame is that spiritual awareness that you are a sinner. It's that understanding that the worst part of who you are, the worst things that you have ever done, are totally exposed before God, even if no one else ever knows. I know, and God knows who I am. We all know what shame feels like, that dark shadow that sort of looms over you, that simmering darkness in your soul. Maybe it's a lie that you told. Maybe it's a person that you hurt. Maybe it's something you stole. Maybe it's a promise that you broke. And maybe no one else knows, but God knows. And deep down in your heart, you are constantly aware of it. God does not want you to live under that sort of dark shadow. God doesn't want you to feel unworthy or unclean or unlovable, because in fact God does love you. And He wants to set you free from your sin and free from your shame. He wants to help you to overcome that shame that you carry with you. The Apostle Paul was a great spiritual leader and wrote nearly half of the New Testament. But like you and me, Paul was also a sinner. And the passage that we're going to read today from Romans chapter 7 is Paul's description of how he struggled in his own heart with sin and with shame. And Paul doesn't talk here about exactly what sin he's thinking of as he writes these words, and that doesn't matter. But as you listen to what he wrote, think about your own struggles with sin, your own struggles with carrying around the aftermath of sin, the shame and regret that you feel. And listen to how Paul describes this struggle in his own heart. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living inside of me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it is sin living inside me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wretched man I am, Paul says. That's what shame feels like, isn't it? You look in the mirror and what you see there is the worst of who we are. Who will rescue me from this, Paul asks. We long to be set free, but how can we be set free? Now, Paul, you need to remember, literally wrote the book on grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. Paul led thousands of people to salvation, to new faith, life-giving faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write large sections of the Bible, and he taught throughout his writings that Jesus died to set us free from sin. In fact, Paul's writings became for us the foundation of all Christian theology. Paul understands who Jesus is, why he died, and how our sin can be dealt with. And yet, this great man of faith struggled with his own sin. And he struggled with shame. He says, I don't understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Of course, Paul's struggles are not unique. We all know what he's talking about. He was able to put these things into words, again, inspired by the Spirit, recorded for all time through the Bible, but Paul is expressing what we all understand. I've said before, and I'll say it again now, the whole story, the whole message of the Bible can be summarized in this way is the depravity of human beings, the depravity of man, and the grace of God. That's what the Bible is all about. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. And that is the message that God wants all of us to hear and understand. And He wants us to know that He has provided for us a way to overcome sin and to overcome shame. And as we look through Paul's words here and as we think about what God has revealed to us through His Word, we need to understand that though we are sinners, and we are all sinners, God has sent us the Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has come to set us free from sin and shame. But we need to begin with some hard truths about our brokenness. You sin because there is something wrong inside of you. I sin because there's something wrong inside of me. Paul says it this way. He says, I've been sold as a slave to sin. He says, sin is living inside me. He also writes, evil is right there with me. Now, we need to understand a couple things about what Paul is saying here. The first is that this does not mean that you are not responsible for your sin. When Paul says, evil is right there inside of me, he's not talking about being possessed or anything odd like that. He's a follower of Jesus Christ. Satan has no place in his heart, and yet there is still this part of Paul's life that desires, that longs after what is not right. And so in that sense, he says, evil is right there with me, but it doesn't mean that he's not responsible for his sin. In fact, the truth is that the only one responsible for my sin is me. The only one responsible for your sin is you. We don't blame it on someone else. We don't say the devil made me do it. We don't say it's because of how I was raised. We don't say it's because of the things I watch on TV. None of those things. If I sin, it's my responsibility. And I carry that. The second thing to clarify here is that this doesn't mean that you are all bad. I'm a sinner. It doesn't mean that I always sin. I do bad things from time to time, but I can also do good things, and I know you do good things too. You're good people. And we don't want to walk away thinking, oh, everything is terrible and bad in my life. But the fact is, there is this struggle going on, that there is a part of us that desires what is not good, that urges us to go in the wrong direction and to say and do things that we know God does not want us to say and do. And so Paul talks about a war, a wrestling match inside of our hearts. He says, I know what's right, but sometimes I still do what's wrong. I want to do good, but sometimes I still act bad. It's sort of like knowing there's a plate of brownies in the kitchen. And I can tell myself I shouldn't go eat another brownie. It's not good for me. The kids haven't even had one yet. But we all know eventually I'm going to wander through the kitchen and there'll be one less brownie, right? Of course, sin is much more serious than just eating a brownie. Sin hurts people. Sin hurts myself. Sin dishonors God. Sin is a big deal. And the truth is, we are all sinners. Which then brings us to the effects of sin. You see, sin breaks our relationship with God. It does damage to our souls. Your soul is that part of you that can know and love and understand God. And when we sin, our souls are damaged and we can't be closer. We can't be as close to God as we would like to be. And so we feel ashamed. Shame is that spiritual feeling of sorrow and embarrassment that grips you, that takes a hold of you when you know that you have done something wrong. Shame is how you feel when you've sinned. Now, shame, though, is different than guilt. Guilt is just knowing that you've done something wrong. Knowing the difference between right and wrong, and I should have done right, but I feel guilty that I've done wrong. Shame is also not just embarrassment. Embarrassment, I think, is feeling weird that other people know you've done something wrong. Okay, but shame is a spiritual feeling. Shame happens inside your soul, inside your heart. Shame is feeling sorrow that you've broken your relationship with God. Shame is feeling embarrassment that you've dishonored God. It's not about what other people might think about you. Shame is about what God knows about you. We feel ashamed because God sees exactly who you are. He knows every thought, every word, every deed, every motive, every desire. And shame is understanding that God sees it all. So Paul calls himself unspiritual. As he thinks about his sinful nature, I'm unspiritual. He says, I don't understand what I do. I know what's good, but I can't carry it out. And then finally, what a wretched man I am. Wretchedness is what shame feels like. Shame crushes your soul with that heavy weight. And maybe you've carried that shame around with you for a long, long time. I know people who do. For many, many years, you may think, well, no one else knows what this is, but I've carried it around for years and years. I know what I've done, and God knows what I've done. And we feel that shame. And maybe you've even apologized to the person you've hurt. Maybe you've tried to make amends, and yet you can't let go of it in your own heart. And so you carry that shame with you, and somehow you have to let it go. Somehow you have to be able to move on from that sin. Somehow you have to understand that God can help you overcome that feeling of shame. So let me offer a little bit of guidance for how we can overcome shame. And the first thing is that we need to realize that you can't fix your own soul. You can't solve this problem yourself. It's not just up to you. You see, the solution to shame cannot come from inside of you. Sin comes from inside of us. That desire to do what's wrong, that's inside of us. But we can't fix it ourselves. The solution to shame can only come through God's grace and God's redemption. The good news is that God promises to help you. The Spirit works to fix what is wrong inside of you. The Spirit wants to make you better. Jesus promised before He left the earth that He would send His Spirit to be with His followers. And 2,000 years later, that promise still comes true for us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus' own Spirit, lives inside of His followers. And the Spirit gives us wisdom and empowers us with spiritual gifts and gives us comfort and peace. The Spirit helps us also to become more like Jesus. And all of that begins with the Spirit helping to fix that sinful part of you and me. The Spirit wants to remove that sinful desire from your heart. He wants to set you free from that slavery to sin so that you can live for God and seek God's will instead of your own false ideas or foolish ideas or sinful ideas. And the Bible calls this process sanctification. Now, that's a big word that means to be made holy. To be made holy, to be made more like God. And we can't do that ourselves, but the Spirit can do it for us and in us as the Spirit works first to remove sinful desires and then to replace those sinful desires with desires to do God's will and God's goodness. And the struggle that Paul writes about here, I know what's good, but sometimes I do what's bad. I want to do good, but sometimes I fall into sin. that struggle is going to continue all through our lives in this life. And yet spiritual maturity, growing to be more like Jesus, this process of sanctification that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, as we become more like Jesus, you will find that those sinful desires become less and less. And more in your heart will grow that desire to do God's will, to do those things that are right. And it won't be perfect. None of us will reach perfection in this life. But as we seek after God, as we allow the Spirit to work, that process will grow more and more in your heart. So the Spirit is working inside of us, but we also have work to do here. We can't do it all on our own, but we do have to do something. And that is this: to overcome shame, we need to confess and we need to repent. Overcoming shame requires confession and repentance. Confession means that you admit that you have sinned. You do something wrong and you say, "God, I'm sorry for what I've done. It was wrong. It was sinful." Confession is being honest with God about what you have done and with what you have thought and the words that you have spoken. Just like if you hurt someone, you need to go and apologize to that person. In the same way, every time we sin, we need to apologize to God. We need to confess that to God. If you think angry thoughts or lustful thoughts or envious thoughts, you need to confess. The truth is, God already knows what you've done. It's not like when you confess your sins, God says, "Oh, I didn't notice that. Thanks for pointing that out to me. I'll be paying attention more to you now." No, God is already very aware of who you are and everything you've done, everything you've thought. But He invites us to come to Him and to confess, to lay it freely and openly and honestly before Him. But then we also need to do the hard work of repentance. Repentance means to turn around. It means instead of going towards sin, we turn and we start going toward God. Repentance means instead of falling into this sin time after time after time, I'm going to say, "God, please help me to do better, to make a better decision." You see, confession says, "I'm sorry for what I've done." Repentance says, "I'll do better the next time." And we ask God to help us to do better. And we need both of these to break the bonds, to break the chains of sin in our life. We need to confess what we've done, but then we also need to say to God, "Help me to do better. Help me not to fall into that sin again." And then through Jesus Christ and through the Spirit's work, God will begin to wash away that sin and set us free from shame, which then brings us to our ultimate answer to how do we overcome shame, and that is that Jesus alone can deliver you from shame by forgiving your sin. By forgiving your sin. You see, ultimately, the only way to remove shame from your heart is through the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, which is why Paul, as he says, "What a wretched man I am, who's going to rescue me from this shame that I feel, this sinfulness that I know is all through my life?" And then he says, "Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." It is only Jesus who can offer that forgiveness and that deliverance from sin. You see, Paul knew all about God's grace and forgiveness. Before meeting Jesus, Paul was he was a bad person. He was an angry man. Paul spent his life early on as a young adult persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ, violently opposing the followers of Jesus. He was zealous for all the wrong things. He was going the wrong direction. And then Jesus came and stopped Paul in his tracks and turned him around and changed his heart and forgave his sin. And Paul's life was forever changed. And he knew that he was a sinner. He knew he was a sinner before he met Jesus. And even after he came to know that Jesus was his Savior, Paul knew that he was still a sinner, still struggled with sin. But even more than that, Paul came to understand that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And through Jesus, our sins can be taken away. Because you see, Jesus died and rose again. And because he did, he alone is able to set us free from our sin and to wash our hearts clean and to take away your shame. And that might be a hard truth. I think it is a hard truth for us to accept that Jesus can just forgive us. That if we ask, he'll just wash us clean. All of your sins, even the really bad ones, Jesus can forgive. Even those sins that you think no one else knows about, Jesus can forgive. Even that sin that you keep falling for time after time, Jesus can forgive. The little sins and even the big nasty ones, Jesus died on the cross to forgive those sins. And it's not that forgiveness is easy, because Jesus had to die so that you could be set free. But he chose to do that because he loves you, because he wants you to be set free from shame, because he wants you to overcome that feeling that you're not worthy. To show his great love for you, Jesus died on the cross. And because he did, we can know with all certainty that God takes away your sin and sets you free from shame. And that is how, and that is the only way, that we can overcome shame. So let's give thanks to God for this great gift. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we do give you thanks today for your love for us, that even though we are sinners, you still love us. And so I pray for each one who's here this morning that you would be at work in their hearts, that you would help them to know beyond any doubt that you love them, that Jesus died for them, and that because of your great love and because of Jesus' life-giving death, that we can be set free from our sin. We don't need to carry around that shame or that regret or that sorrow anymore. Father, we thank you for your grace that washes us clean. And I pray that you'd help us to walk each day with that assurance that you have forgiven us and that you've made us new. We pray these things in Jesus' good name. Amen.